We are looking today at Mark chapter 14 with the remaining minutes, okay? And really, what we're focusing on is all God's promises are yes and amen. Aren't you glad about that? All of God's promises are yes and amen. I mean, in this life, all of us have broken promises. I know I have. I'd be the first to admit that there's been times that I thought I would be able to do something and I didn't. And I knew in my heart and mind at the moment that I would do it. And then I didn't follow through. You know, and also our hearts have been broken in a sense by people who did promise us things and didn't follow through. Perhaps in your childhood, you even remember that in your home and so forth, that promises were broken, you know? And when you're hoping for what was promised and it doesn't happen, it really can dishearten you and really even make you bitter. In fact, there's a scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, you know? Because when it doesn't happen, it really, really makes you sick in your hope and in your desire for life because you've been broken that way. Well, the great thing is that God never breaks his promises. His promises aren't maybe, they're not no, and they're not only yes, but they're yes and amen. That means it's a guarantee, it's promise, it's going to happen. All God's promises are yes and amen, and we can bank on that to know it's going to come true. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? And so we think about this, and the promise of God is really begins with the Holy Spirit. In fact, we see in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus said to his disciples, if you have that first verse, that when he sent his disciples, he goes, you know, wait until the Father sends the promise. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That is a promise that he has imputed the Holy Spirit into you. Now, after the Holy Spirit came upon Pentecost and the 120 were in the upper room, and you know, they descended in the tongues of fire and they went out and they just spoke in all different languages. Everyone believed them. The Holy Spirit was just ripping through the crowds. And they were like, and they were cut to the heart. And they said, what must we do? And Peter responded with this, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. For the promise, there's that word, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So that is the promise. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have received the promise, and that promise just keeps on giving. And so today we're going to look at a passage that you know well is when Peter denied Jesus. And you say, well, how does this tie in with the promises of God? Well, the way it does is because Peter denied Jesus, okay? And you could say, you know, wow, like how could he do that? He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He heard words of truth. He even knew he was the Son of God at one moment. How could he deny that he even knew him, you know? And you could think that way, but remember, Peter made a promise that he was going to defend Jesus. Do you remember that? And Jesus prophesied, you're going to deny me 3 times by the time the rooster crows twice, right? So Jesus told him he was not going to defend him, but you remember when they came to arrest him, I think we saw it like 2 weeks ago, and they went to arrest him, and Peter, what did he do? He didn't stand by. He did exactly what he said. He pulled out his sword, and he thought he was going to chop off Malchus's head, I believe. But instead, he didn't quite get a good shot in, and he sliced off his ear, right? And so Jesus, of course, healed Malchus's ear. But, you know, Peter tried to do something about stopping the arrest of Jesus. But now he's outside of this courtyard where the Sanhedrin, you know, the religious court, is interrogating Jesus, and Peter's saying, what, like, this can't end well. Like, he's in shackles. What am I going to do now? And he's watching this, and he doesn't know what to do anymore because his hope and dreams are locked up in Jesus. And so at this point, his logic takes over, and all of a sudden, he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to deny. I just, because the fear took over. But before you judge him, you know, before you judge him, remember, at a moment when he thought he could do something in his own strength and stop it, he was willing to. But now that logic took over, and he sees that things aren't going well, what happens? Oh, boy. You know, this is not going to end well for Jesus. That means if I know him, it ain't going to end well for me. You know? Have you ever been in that position where you're seeing, you know, I prayed and prayed, but, you know, this isn't happening. This is not coming true. You know, all his promises, I thought he promised that I would get better from this disease. I thought I was going to win the love of that person back into my life. You know, I thought I was going to be able to get that job or any job, whatever it is, and it ain't looking good for me. And all of a sudden, we begin to question, are all of God's promises really yes and amen? Or do I have to find another solution? Just like when John the Baptist was captured in prison. And he's saying, are you really the Messiah? Should we be looking for someone else? I think all of us, in a sense, can connect with Peter. Because all of us, from one time or another, in a sense, deny Jesus. Deny that Jesus has the power to rule over that situation. And that's why I believe we all, in a sense, have a heart for Peter. The great thing is, after Jesus rose from the dead, he reinstated him. Remember? Do you love me? Feed my sheep 3 times. In a sense, look, it's forgiven. You have been forgiven. When you deny Jesus, you have been forgiven. But he's saying, don't stay there. Move on in my promises. Because my promises are to be tapped into and used and fulfilled. Because his promises are, in a sense, manifested or fulfilled through us. We possess the promise, right? We just read that. He imputed his promise into you and I, and we are the fulfillment of his promise. So we can't deny him the availability of our lives to deliver that promise. Because if you deny Jesus, in many cases, we're going to see that promise never gets delivered. And that's pretty sad, isn't it? So let's dig into the scripture with the minutes remaining. So let's look, Mark 14, verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when he saw Peter warming himself, he looked at him. All right, let me start over again. You ready? I'm trying too hard here. Lord, just slow me down, Lord. I just want to be dialed in to you. There's no stress here, Lord. There's no pressure. Your word does all the heavy lifting, does all the transformation, Lord. We rest in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when he saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." And then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And a second time, the rooster crowed. And then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And then he thought about it and wept. Luke captures even more of this scene in that as soon as the rooster crowed twice, Jesus turned around and looked at him. I mean, can you imagine? Like, you're watching Jesus from maybe 50 feet away, 70 feet away. Jesus can't necessarily hear what's going on here. And Jesus is shackled up, and all this is going on, and suddenly you're cursing over there, saying, I don't even know him. I don't even know him. And here, Jesus is there, and suddenly the rooster crows twice, and Jesus turns around and stares right at you. I mean, can you imagine the feeling? I don't know him. And he turns around and looks you in the eye. I mean, wow. Wow. I mean, just talk about the feeling of betrayal. Do you know what I mean? In fact, the disciples said to him, you have the words of life. Where else can we go? Suddenly, I don't know him. And why? Why did he do this? Because it looked hopeless to Peter, didn't it? Because he was looking at Peter and he was looking at Jesus and he was saying, Jesus is locked up. Here's the one who walked on the waters, who calmed the storms, who cleansed the lepers, healed the sick, brought sight to the blind, raised the dead. Here's the guy that did all these things, and there he is, shackled up. But you know, Jesus was not shackled up, was he? In fact, he even said, I could right now send down 72,000 angels to win this battle. Or one of them could if I wanted them to, right? But Jesus was willingly going into this because he had to. You know, it's important for us to remember when things look hopeless that Jesus has us in there for a purpose, doesn't he? He has us in there for a reason. You know, even Paul said, you know, I am in prison, but he was saying, you know, prison is shackled to me because he was bringing freedom into the prisons. When God wanted to set him free from the prison, he just let him go. But while he was in prison, there was a reason for him to be there. For the same thing, you and I may be in a sense in a prison or in a situation, and we might say, why are we here? But I want you to know you're there for a reason and a season because you're shackled to that situation so that you can bring freedom. Isn't that amazing? You know, the word says that he took captivity captive. That means he may send you into a situation that looks hopeless or that you are, in a sense, held captive of. But you gotta, wait a minute, I am the freedom. I am the promise. The Lord has placed me in this situation in order for him to be glorified. I am not a victim here. I am a victor, just like we were singing about earlier. The Lord has us in every situation for a reason because he wants to reign over that situation. I have a verse here to kind of pull this out. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. It's important for us to remember, you know, this isn't about you or I. It's about Jesus. Everything is, right? So you are the life of Christ on earth. As Christ is, so are you in this world. You are the representation, the fragrance, the image of Jesus on earth. You know, I don't want that job. Well, you have it, okay? He's already chosen you, okay, before the foundations of the earth to be that. So you are him in that situation. And so Paul writes this to Timothy. This is a faithful saying, for we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, what's he saying there? It almost sounds like if I'm not confessing Jesus, he's going to give up on me. And he's going to say, no, 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 you can't come in. Is he really saying that? Or is he saying the Lord wants to reign in every situation? But if you deny his promises in that moment, then the Lord is not going to overrule you and make you do something, is he? You know, I wish he would sometimes. But in a sense, he's like saying, well, you know, I had it for you. I had it. But you didn't want it. That's why you're failing in this situation. That's why you're not overcoming. I wanted to give you what you needed to prevail, to reign in that situation, but you didn't. So I can't give it to you. I can't make you do what you won't do, you know? So he's, in a sense, preparing. But I think a lot of times we deny Jesus, in a sense, of having the opportunity to reign in a situation. And you know why we do? It's because we fear man more than God. Because we fear the situation and say, this is too much. Just like when Peter was watching Jesus and he says, there's nothing he can do now. He's already locked up. He's already going to be, look, they're beating him. They're pounding on him. I mean, why is he letting them do this? He can't win this battle. I just can't connect with Jesus in this moment. I have to deny that I even know him. A lot of times we see situations that seem so hopeless that we deny when we don't realize that Jesus has them right where he wants them, because he's going to prevail. He's going to reign. And in those moments, that's when we have to say, Lord, I know it looks bad, but I can't wait to see what you're about to do. I can't wait to see you overcome and overpower this situation and come alive even in me and prevail. That's what he wants to do. He wants to prevail in you, doesn't he? We're going to skip ahead, and I just want to show you one thing. You know, a lot of times we can fall into this, well, when we read, he will deny us. And I know I've heard believers say, I don't want him to ever deny me. Like, you know, like, in other words, give up on me. And I'm telling you, the Lord won't. We just read, he won't deny himself, right? And if he lives in you, he can't deny himself, right? But at the same time, sometimes he will deny us to have the ability to overcome because we're not believing in his promises. And so look at Matthew 10, 32 to 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I mean, that could seem like it would get you scared, wouldn't it? Because you mean you're going to deny me? Well, here's what I believe this is saying, is that, you know, the Lord has made promises that you will reign in every situation. He has already empowered you with the promise of the Holy Spirit. But when you reject the Spirit and you start acting in fear of man, in fear of the situation, in fear of, you know, what you're involved in, and say, Lord, I don't know. I just have to default to lying, cheating, stealing, kissing up to man, doing what I need to do to get through this, and no longer relying on the promises of God. I believe Jesus turns to his Father and said, Father, hold up on that. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want to receive what we have to give him. He's doing his own thing right now. And when he finally fails, he's going to call out to us, then we're going to send more. He's going to be ready for it. Have you ever been in that situation that you did things in your own craftiness, your own flesh, your own design, and it's just not working? In fact, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And then you start to result to things like drinking or drugs to overcome the failure, and all of a sudden you're even trapped more in it. You're like, what is going on, God? You made promises to me. Yeah, but you never acted on them. You never received the promise and moved in it. You never let me fulfill my promise to you. You keep doing your own thing. And I believe the Father, Jesus is saying, Dad, he's not ready for it yet. Wait, okay? And in a sense, he wants us to say yes to his promises, to overcome. Some people quote that scripture that says, you know, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do this and that and the other thing in your name? And Jesus says, but I never knew you. You know, in fact, if you have that, yeah. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have I not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I hear believers say that about themselves. That's not right. What if he says to me someday he never knew me? You know who he's talking to? He could have easily said, hey, Lord, didn't I do these things? He should have just said no, okay? But the Lord knows better. You and I would just say, no, you never did any of those things in my name. Instead, he says, not only didn't you, I never even knew you. He knows you. In fact, Romans chapter 8 says, you are foreknown, okay? And those who are foreknown, what's the scripture say? You are predestined in the image of Jesus. And not only are you predestined, you're called. And you're not only called, but you're justified. And you're not only justified, but you're glorified. You are chosen. All of his promises for you are yes and amen. For you to quote scripture about yourself and say, I hope the Lord never says I never knew you, you're talking about the wrong person. It's not a believer in Jesus Christ. It's an imposter. It's someone who is doing things for their own purpose, their own kingdom, not for the kingdom of God. And you know, what's awesome about all this is that Jesus came to him on the beach after he rose from the dead. Peter had already seen him. But he came to him, and Peter runs up. You know the scene. They're eating fish and having a breakfast together. And he said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And each time, Peter says, I do. And he goes, feed my sheep. In other words, will you please move in the promises that I've given you? You know, to give Peter a break, he hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet, had he? He couldn't move in the promises, but we can. When the promise came at Pentecost, we received the promises of God. We have the promise living in us, and that promise just keeps on going and giving more and giving more. And his promises in our lives are fulfilled when we say yes to Jesus. You know, all his promises are yes and amen. Do you know what happens when you deny his promises? It's no and oh man. Instead of yes and amen, it's no and oh man, right? He wants you to receive his promises. He wants his promises to be poured out to everyone around you. He wants you to be a package of promises to others because his promises are so, so great. You can read the promises in the word. They go on and on and on. You know, from I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, okay? That he has plans to give you a promised life. Just like he gave Israel promised land, he gives you a promised life. But so Peter was restored, and when he received the promise from heaven, he finally understood. And he never denied Jesus again. He moved in the promises of the Holy Spirit, and he said, this is a dynamic, divine life I'm living because I'm acting on the promises that the Lord has downloaded into my soul. We see this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. You know, don't you want to live a divine nature? You know, you have a new DNA in you. I love this. Divine nature always. When you are born again, you have a whole new DNA. I'll bet you if they did samples of our DNA before and after, they'd be different. Because we are divine. We are a hybrid of the Holy Spirit and of man. We are the fragrance, the radiance of Jesus on earth. And all of his promises for us are yes and amen. Let's look at that verse up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. And that amen means firm, sure, truly. In other words, never go away. To the glory of God. How are they delivered? Through us. Through us. You are a package of God's promises. You are the evidence that the Lord Jesus keeps his promises. When you deny him the ability to make good on his promises, you're not only squelching your own life, but you're squelching everyone else's around you. We need to say yes to Jesus. Not no and all man, but yes and amen, right? And say, Lord, I want your promises to be manifested through my life because I believe you have already given me the promise and it's going to keep on giving. And look how this verse ends, ready? And now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Are you catching that? He has anointed us. Do you know what that means? That means covered us. Wait for the promise when you are endued with power from on high. He has covered you with his promises. The word anointed in the Old Testament actually means like smeared. He has just coated you in his promises. He has not only covered you from outside, he has sealed you on the inside with his promise. You are sealed. You know, when a seal, when they would seal an envelope, they would, the king or the ruler would drip candle wax on that envelope that he would fold over, or the scroll in those days, right? The scroll. And he would drip wax on there, and then he would put his signet ring right into the wax. And that was, he only had that ring. Nobody else had his ring of authority. And he would press it into the wax so it would hold. If that seal is broken, that means somebody read the letter, okay? That shouldn't have. And he would hand this to the person who was supposed to read it. You are sealed by God Almighty. He has his label on you that no one can break. Isn't that awesome? He has sealed you with his promises. And not only has he sealed you, he has given you a guarantee. And that means that his promises keep on giving. You can never run out of his promises. His promises are residual. They just keep on paying and giving and giving and giving. It's a guarantee. You think it's good now, it's going to get even better. His Spirit has only more and more wonderful things in your life. They never die out. His promises are new every morning. They keep on going. To diminish and deny him the ability to bless you with his promises is crazy, isn't it? Why would we do that? As the worship team comes forward, were we able to get that picture? Jake, oh, there they are. Awesome. Thank you so much. We have the best team back there. They are amazing. So Jake is engaged, okay? He proposed to Destiny, his bride-to-be, okay? What day was it again? Wednesday night. Yeah, we were at Bible study. But anyway, he proposed to Destiny. I hope they ask me to do the service, because I can think of all kinds of word things. Her name's Destiny. Isn't that a great name? I mean, just think of that, Destiny. You know, it was Destiny that Jake would meet Destiny, all right? But anyway, she's just such an awesome, awesome girl, you know, and we're just so happy for them. But the reason I bring this up is because, you know, when Jake asked Destiny to be his wife, he gave her an engagement ring, you know? And in a sense, that was like an anointing, wasn't it? It was like, let me put this on you as a symbol that we are betrothed to each other, that something great is about to happen in our lives. You are going to be my bride. And when we said yes to Jesus, he anointed us with the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He came down just like that diamond ring being slid on Destiny's finger. The Holy Spirit slid down upon us and he coated you with his glory. He said, this one's mine. He has showered you with gems from heaven. Do you know that? You are the sparkle. in his eye, the apple of his eye, the word says. When he looks at you, he says, look how beautiful you are. Look at Rose, man. She is my chosen gem. She belongs to me. You belong to him. When you are anointed by the Holy Spirit, it's as if he slid this gem on your finger. It says, you are mine. And the Holy Spirit came down upon you, and you are now sanctified. And someday when they get married, they're going to seal the deal. Just like that scripture just said. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. That means you are now his bride. And that already happened for you and I. We are already his bride. We are not meeting him yet in the heavenlies to be officially his bride, but we are already wed to him. You are already his bride. You know that? You're already married to Jesus. It's already a partnership for life. And that's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. You are sealed to the day of your redemption. The enemy cannot have you. You're already sealed. It's a done deal. Never to break. And not only that, but he is now guaranteed you forever. When Jake and Destiny get married and they start living their life together and they perhaps buy a house together and they have kids together, it's just going to keep on getting better and better and better, because the love they have for each other upon that engagement will lead to the sealing, the marriage, and then will lead to the guarantee that it's just going to keep blessing and paying out. Residual love will just keep on going from generation to generation. Their children, their grandchildren, it just keeps getting better if we let it. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you because he has covered you. He wants to seal you in the marriage and never to let you go. And he wants to guarantee that it's only going to get better from here on out. Because his Spirit never fails. His promises are always yes and amen. They never fail. They keep going and going and going. Is that good news? Is that good news? So let's just stand up and we're just going to ask the Lord to really anoint us afresh. If you don't know this promises of God, if you don't know this divine nature that he has for all of us, I'm telling you, today is the day. Just say, Lord, I want your promises, and I'm tired of letting the broken promises of the past jade my view of you, jade my image of you. Like that, remember the talents? The one was given five, the one was given two, the other one was given one, and the one buried it and says, I know what kind of ruler you are. Oh, you do? Oh, you do? Give that one to the one who has 10. I want to be the guy with 11. Don't you want 11? I don't want none. I want 11. Don't you? I want more and more and more blessings from the Lord, because he has a guarantee for us that when we say yes to him, he will continue to pour into your life and never say no, because his promises are yes and amen. So let's just reach out our hands to the Lord and say, Lord God, I want more of your promises today. I want your promises to pour down on me. And you could just holler out to the Lord. If you want to kneel down, you can kneel down. I just believe we should just shake our body up and say, get ready, because the promises are coming, Lord God. Because more and more promises, Lord. We thank you that all of the worst days in our lives, Lord God, that we didn't know you, when we came to know you, there has been none ever since, Lord God. Even when we thought things seemed like a challenge, we know that your promises got us through, because they never fail, Lord God. We are living your promised life, the life flowing with milk and honey, the fat and sweet life, Lord God. We want a life that resembles you. Even when the things get tough in life, we respond with grace and love in those environments, because, Lord God, you love us so much that you pour all of your promises on us. You seal us with them, and you guarantee them to go on and on and on. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And listen, if you want some prayer, please come down after the service. Is God good? Is God good? Let's give him a round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this last song.